I think one of the greatest gifts that we can give our students is to unlock how unique each one of us are as teachers. You are bringing something to the table that I'm not. I'm bringing something different to the table than the person down the hall, and that is awesome. In fact, what I want to talk about in this episode is one absolutely ridiculous thing that I started doing with my students that utilizes my quirkiness. It utilizes a little bit of creativity and a little bit of just competition, and it comes from the $1.25 tree. It's a really unique, silly, but simple idea that I am utilizing in my classroom right now because it matches my personality. And I want to not only tell you about that idea, but also show you in this episode how you can unlock those things that are going to make your classroom awesome in a special environment for your specific students. Now, before we get into the episode, I want to give a shout out to the listener of the week, Casey, who gave a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. Casey said, 5 stars, wowzers. This podcast is my go-to each week. Monica is so down to earth and provides simple hacks and ideas that work and are oh so fun. You will feel like her teacher bestie each time you listen. Casey, let's be teacher besties. I'm so glad that these simple ideas are helping you in your classroom, and I'm confident that your uniqueness is also shining with your students. I think that you are going to have so much fun in this episode, and I am so excited to hear about your unique interests, skills, and strengths, and how you can help your students crush it in the classroom. Let's get into this idea, and spoiler alert, it does involve a hot dog. Let's get after it. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. One of my favorite things to do is to browse the aisles of the $1.25 tree. I think this store is super special because it's within our teacher price range. It's a budget-friendly place to get pens and poster board and all of the things that we use as teachers. But I think some of the most powerful teacher tools are not in the section that we shop as educators. I love utilizing things in the food aisle. I love utilizing things in the toys aisle, in the craft aisle, in the cleaning supply aisle. I think there are so many teacher treasures throughout the entire $1.25 tree, and those help me utilize my unique interests, skills, and strengths. Because one of my things that really helps me connect with kids, one of the teacher powers, superpowers that I think that I have is to take something silly, something sometimes really stupid, and turn it into something significant that is going to cause us to laugh and learn. I love utilizing things that are not what kids expect, and show them that we can use this to our advantage in the classroom. And recently, I was at the $1.25 tree, and I was in the toy aisle, and I was getting, you know, the usual things that I love, a sticky ninja, big fan of a sticky ninja in the classroom. I was getting decks of cards because they have some jumbo decks of cards. Love using decks of cards and dice, foam erase dice, love it all. But then I saw something that I had never seen before in the toy aisle, And it was these squishy kind of toy things. And they resembled food. And they had a hamburger and they had a slice of pizza and they had a hot dog. And I picked one up and I was like, okay, this is kind of fun looking. And I threw it in the cart. I had absolutely no clue what I was going to do with that. I just knew for $1.25 that I was going to invest in this potential idea that could brew in my head, because sometimes I feel like Russell Crowe in the movie A Beautiful Mind, and there's all of these things floating around and they don't always connect, but I like to trust my instincts on something cool could happen here. And I thought, man, something cool could happen with this ridiculously squishy, silly hot dog. It's like made of foam. So I put it in the cart, I brought it into my classroom, and I just kept it on my teacher desk for a while. And I kept seeing the hot dog, and it kept making me smile, and it wasn't causing me to be frustrated because I didn't have an idea yet. I just knew when the time was right, something was going to pop into my head, and it was going to be a hot idea. Okay. Hot dog. Okay. Well, I remember teaching a lesson, and this happened a few months ago. I was teaching a lesson, and I was struggling to get through it. And the kids seemed really unfocused, and the kids seemed like they were kind of in a bad mood, and some students weren't engaged, and I felt like I was giving that group of students the stink eye, and it just was kind of falling apart. Class was falling apart. And I remember saying to them, guys, if we can get refocused, and we can get through some of these practice problems, and we can ask good questions, then at the end of the class period, we are going to play a game with my new foam hot dog. And the kids are like, what are the game? And I'm like, I'm not even telling you yet, but it's going to involve this hot dog. And just like that, I utilized the moment to say, let's get back on track. And I was about to utilize my ability to kind of think on the fly and just kind of make up stupid shit that works sometimes. That is one of my unique skills. People are like, Monica, how do you come up with these ideas? Monica, like, how did you formulate that idea? And the answer is, like, I can't explain how my brain works other than I just go for it sometimes. So the kids did a great job. We got through the rest of the practice problems. They were re-engaged. They were refocused. They were re-energized. And just like I promised, I said, all right, we're going to play a game with this hot dog. And the kids are like, what is it called? And just off the top of my head, I said, it's called Catch the Hot Dog. I'm like, how do you play? And I'm like, it's really simple. I'm going to pull some popsicle sticks for participants. And one at a time, you're going to come up to the front of the room and I'm going to drop this hot dog. And you have to catch it. And they're like, that's the whole game? And I'm like, that's the whole game. And they're like, pumped. They were so excited. They're like, okay. And so I called a student up. I got my popsicle sticks. I randomly drew a student. They came up to the front of the room. And I put my arm out to drop the hot dog. They had their arm. And I made them stay in a very like 90 degree angle with their body and the hot dog. And I dropped it. And they had to just close their hand at the correct time. And the first two kids that I called up dropped the hot dog. And both of them were like, why is this so hard? And I'm like, I honestly don't really know why it's this hard. I did not anticipate this to be this hard. And I pulled the third popsicle stick in the kid's hand. He was like wiping it on his jeans. He's like, I'm so nervous. I don't know why this is going to be this hard. And then I dropped the hot dog and that kid immediately caught it in his hand. I dropped it. They closed their fist around it. And they're like, oh, that was really easy. And then the other kids are like, well, I want to try. Like, is it hard or easy? And the kids who had dropped the hot dog were like, it's really hard. And the kid who caught the hot dog was like, it was so simple. Here's the thing. This is just like one of these like reflex activities. This is like hand-eye coordination activities. Sometimes kids have it. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes kids get nervous and they drop it. This has nothing to do with anything. This is a really, 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 really dumb, simple idea that has nothing to do with learning. Catching a hot dog has nothing to do with my curriculum. I teach science and math this year. Nowhere in the math standards are you going to be able to ask, can students catch a foam hot dog? It's not going to appear there. In the social and emotional learning standards that I teach for my SEL classes, nowhere on there does it say, can students catch a foam hot dog from the $1.25 tree? You won't find it in my standards, and you won't find it in your standards either. But here's why this works. Because it got my students refocused. It got my students re-engaged. It got my students motivated. It got my kids saying like, you guys, shh, I want to play catch the hot dog. They didn't even know what it was. It was this mysterious game. And then the game created even more buy-in because the bell rang and the kids were like, can we play catch the hot dog tomorrow? And I'm like, if we have a great class period. So what I started doing is reserving the last 2 minutes of the class period every single day to play the most ridiculous, stupid, silly, insignificant game ever called catch the hot dog with a foam hot dog. Now, I thought this idea was dumb, because it is, but I recorded like a 30-second like TikTok video about it. And I quickly realized it's dumb, but we as teachers need stuff like this, because that video got 500,000 views in like a week's time. That's insane. That's ridiculous. But I think the thing that we can all learn here is when we utilize our unique interests, skills, and strengths, that's when our classrooms come alive, and that's when things really start working for both us and our students. And in the second part of the episode, we're going to talk about how you can do this exact same thing. And if you're like, Monica, I'm not creative. Monica, I don't think like that. You got something, and I want you to utilize it. And so we're going to talk about how you can make that happen in your classroom too. U stands for utilize. U also stands for unique. And I want to invite you to participate in something really special, really unique, and really fun that is starting in April. April is one of my very favorite times of the year because I release a course called Crushing It for Kids. It is a virtual PD opportunity for you to end this school year on an awesome note. By the time spring hits, I know that we're tired. I know that we're struggling. And I also know that we're looking for awesome ideas to end on a really good note for kids because we want to crush it for them. We don't want to feel crushed by school or the education system. So I want to invite you to participate in my Crushing It for Kids course that begins in April. It is going to be full of fun, full of videos, full of ideas, full of opportunities for you to bring your unique questions to the table, and I can give you a unique answer so you can have the best possible spring. It is fun, it is flexible, it is affordable, and registration is open right now at monicagenta.com/courses. If you like this simple but significant idea about catching a hot dog, there are going to be hundreds of ideas shared by both me and teachers who are passionate about this profession from all across the United States. You can check out monicagenta.com/courses. That's Monica, GENTA.com/courses to get signed up today. I promise you will not regret it because I want you to crush it for kids as we end this 2023 school year that even if it got started poorly, it can end positively. I hope to see you in the course. Check out the link in the show notes or visit monicagenta.com/courses. I want you to unlock and utilize your uniqueness in the classroom. And I think one simple strategy that we can do to make that happen is to ask yourself a question. So let's reflect together. If somebody were to come up to me and say, Monica, how do you describe yourself? I would literally say quirky. I am. And I know that about myself, and it's a positive thing. Sometimes when people ask what would be one word to describe ourselves, we kind of default to something negative. I don't want you to do that. In this reflective exercise, what is one positive word that you would use to describe yourself? Mine, I said, is quirky. So how do I use my quirkiness to my advantage in my classroom? I embrace it. Like the example that I gave, I was like, I'm going to buy this foam hot dog and we're just going to off the cuff play this game called Catch the Hot Dog. And I say it like that. Why? Because I'm quirky and I love being like a quirky game show host in my classroom. That works for me. Because if you say, Monica, who are you? I'm a quirky teacher. So what positive word would you use to describe yourself? If I said, I want to unlock your potential, that is the question that I would ask you. And I want to give you some examples of what I've heard from other teachers, because when I consult in schools and when I do individual teacher retention consulting, this is a question that I will ask, like, how do you describe yourself? And a teacher recently that I was working with said, well, I'm really artistic. And I said, amazing. That's fantastic. Let's use that. And they're like, but I don't teach art, Monica. And I'm like, that's okay. And they're like, no, I teach social studies. And I said, oh my gosh. So if you are a great artist, do you ever draw little like social studies scenes on your board? Do you ever sketch little social studies moments to help your curriculum come alive? And they're like, no, how would I do that? And I was like, do you have a chalkboard in your room? Do you have a whiteboard in your room? Do you have like a digital surface that you could draw something on? They're like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, boom. What if when students came in, you drew just a little scene of whatever you were studying today and you started your lesson? Like your bell ringer was you describing or students predicting what you drew and what you were going to study. And the teacher's like, oh my gosh, I would love that. And I said, you know who else is going to love that? Your students are going to love that. Because that's going to get you excited about the content. Because you just drew this like landscape kind of thing of like the Gettysburg Address. Or like you just drew like a Civil War scene. Or you just drew something about like the Boston Tea Party. You're excited about social studies because you teach social studies. You're also artistic because that's what you just said you were. Combine the two. I'm quirky. I can use quirky little competitions in my classroom, in math, and in SEL. What word would you use to describe yourself? A positive word. Not, well, I'm disorganized. No. What would be your word? Let me give you another example, and this is from an elementary teacher. She's a newer elementary teacher, and oftentimes I work with schools for their first, second, and third year teachers. And so I was talking with this second year teacher, and I said, okay, what would you use to describe yourself? And she's like, I'm really organized. And I'm like, that is fantastic. I said, how are you utilizing that for students? And she's like, well, I have really organized lessons. I have really organized like thoughts. I have like a really organized board, like with an agenda. And I said, okay, great. So you're already using that to your advantage. Then I did a follow-up question. Listen carefully to this important follow-up question. I said, that is what you are. You are an organized second grade teacher. That's fantastic. I said, now tell me this. What is something that you're currently struggling with? And she said, well, I have such large differentiation that needs to happen. Some of my students in my second grade class are so far above grade level. Some are at grade level. I have a bunch of struggling students. And she's like, it's really hard because they need to be working on different pacing in different activities. But it's really difficult because I'm trying to manage, you know, 22 second graders. And I'm like, totally hear you. You are not alone in that. I said, so let me ask you this. How can you utilize your organization and your biggest problem and combine them to create your biggest superpower? I said, you love to organize things. She's like, I love it. And I said, do you have an organized bin of supplemental activities for your students who are maybe quick to catch things and they get done with their stuff quickly? She's like, no, that's my problem. I've got so many high kids in the class. And once they are done with the activity, they all get together and they disrupt each other. And I said, well, what are they supposed to be working on? And she's like, well, I have like, you know, a thing in my Google Classroom with links, and I'm like, is it organized? Is it easy for them to see? And she's like, I mean, kind of. And I said, so why is it not organized? She's like, you're right, I should organize it better. And we talked about, like, what if you had a bin that had, and she got really excited because she's like, oh, I love a bin. I'm like, I know you do because you're an elementary teacher. She's like, you could have a bin and you could have like laminated sheets of paper that have specific things. It has a visual. It says like, you need to log into, Lexia or Dreambox or something like that. And it had the visual of the like logo of whatever they need to log into. It has a picture of the link and it has like bulleted lists of here are the expectations, here are things that you could be working on. But it's an organized area, it's an organized bin, it's an organized thing. She's like, oh my gosh, that's such a good idea. That's so simple. Why didn't I think of that? Right? How can you take your biggest problem right now and your biggest superpower and unlock that? Your uniqueness and utilize it to your advantage. She sent me pictures of these bins that she created, and the kids knew when I get done with this, here's what I need to do. How did they know to do that? Because she organized also a flow chart on her board. Those visual things matter to kids and to her because she's hyper organized. Catching the hot dog is a simple example of me saying, man, my kids were disengaged, but I'm so quirky. So how can I take my quirkiness and their disengagement and use it to my advantage? How can you take your artistic abilities and the fact that the first 5 minutes of your class period are a mess and use your drawings to your advantage as a bell ringer? How can you take the students who are learning so many different things all at once, also known as differentiation, and your organization, and boom, use those to your advantage? These are called power pairs. It's a power pair. It's something positive. It's something that is punishing you, and you're pounding them together and saying, boom, here's my unique way to unlock all this greatness in my classroom. This is called crushing it for kids. I would love to know if you are going to try catch the hot dog in your classroom. I would love to know what your unique thing is and how you are going to leverage that for learning in your classroom. I hope that these short and sweet episodes that I release every single Sunday are propelling you into the next week so you can continually get your teacher momentum. If you are looking for something to get some mega momentum this spring, I want you to check out monicagenta.com/courses for the Crushing It for Kids virtual PD that is happening in April. I am confident you will not be disappointed. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode. Click that follow, click that subscribe so these episodes are appearing in your podcast app every single Sunday night so you're ready for your commute home on Monday. I want to thank you so much for listening, and I want to thank you so much for living this teacher life.